It is Friday, May 24th. Let's talk PlayStation. As I'm sure many of you are aware, there was some major PlayStation news this past week. A lot going on, but first, our weekly PlayStation Plus Instant Game Collection reminder. For the month of May 2019, you are getting What Remains of Edith Finch and Overcooked. You have until June to download these games. Now let's get into that corporate strategy meeting that Sony held on Monday, because a lot of major PS5 details came out, how they're approaching the system, their overall strategy, how it's very transitional. So we'll go over every single key item that came out of that meeting. And we'll start first with actually dialing back a little bit. If you remember that Wired.com article that Sony posted informally announcing PS5, there was one particular instance in that article that described Spider-Man running on next generation hardware and comparing it to PS4 Pro. And in the description, it was listed as, you know, the PS4 Pro having a tough time loading certain instances of Manhattan, the PS5 just blazing through certain territories in the game, no problem, because of that highly customized SSD. Well, it turns out that demo was shown during the corporate strategy meeting, and it was caught on camera by a Japanese journalist. Now, the footage isn't all that great, but you can still see what's going on, and it's just as it's described. So the PS4 Pro chugging along a little bit, whereas the PS5 with that customized SSD going through it, no problem. Very impressive footage. It looks great. The one thing I'm seeing a lot of people bring up, and it's certainly a good point, and it's very much so a real possibility, but we are probably losing a major PlayStation feature that we've been so used to for a very long time, which is that from PS3 to PS4 and every single revision of those hardwares, we've been able to put 2.5-inch laptop hard drives in, no problem. Easy, user-upgradable, cost-efficient. We're probably not going to have that option anymore on PS5. It's got a customized SSD, so we're probably losing that in terms of user upgradability. I mean, maybe Sony will offer some options, but it's a custom SSD, so it's probably going to be something that's you know, vetted by Sony in terms of manufacturers or officially released ones from Sony. Who knows how they're really going to approach that? Maybe it'll just be a locked box and that's it. What you buy is the hard drive that you get and you can't change it. And sure, over time, 2, 3, 4 years after PS5's release, there'll be new bundles with, you know, more gigabytes and this and that. But it does kind of suck that we are more than likely going to lose a feature that we've been very used to with PlayStation hardware. Now, another key point that came out of that meeting was SAE President and CEO Jim Ryan discussed how Sony's going to be broadening their worldwide studios. And they mentioned this by two ways, organic growth or acquisitions. And he does say or, so implying that it's not necessarily going to be both. Now, ideally, this would be both, but at the very least, it's good to hear that Sony's going to be branching out and possibly acquiring more studios or, again, growing studios. And I think what he means by organic growth is a situation like Guerrilla Games, where that studio is going from 250 employees to 400, getting new office space, working on two projects at the same time. Not every Sony studio can do two games at the same time, so possibly it's going to be something like that. Or like Sony Santa Monica, they got a lot of studio space, so sometimes other developers come in and work with them, and that's how you see second-party releases. So we could see more of that. But acquisitions is great, too, because for a while, there hasn't really been much going on there. I mean, Sony's been closing studios, or at least we want the ones we care about. Now, they have opened a VR studio. They did open a mobile studio, ForwardWorks, but, you know, I understand that people don't necessarily, you know, care that much about VR. It's important, but people want those big budget studios, and nobody cares about the mobile studio. So it's great to see that they're exploring this. I'm sure there's many developers that are on the table right now. I'm sure the discussions are already happening. Sony always understood the importance of exclusives, but it's going to mean even more in the long-term future with streaming, cross-network play, things that make traditional hardware a little less relevant. And so Sony's preparing for something like that, which is great. Now, some more details that came out, just some smaller ones, but Sony confirming, remote play is going to be a thing on next gen. PlayStation Now is going to be a thing. Who didn't see that coming? Remote play, they're referring to smartphone play, so cool if they're still supporting PlayStation Vita remote play, but they're talking about smartphones, expanding to Android, things like that. Now, they're talking about backwards compatibility a lot, too. They're saying this is a key point of transition between PS4 and PlayStation 5. And this is what I've been saying for so long. When they did a PS4 on x86, they knew what they were doing 10-plus years in advance. So they basically described how they want this to be as seamless as possible, easy for consumers. A good situation is if you jump into PS5 right away, you can still play online games with somebody from PS4. That's kind of expected, but it's good for them to confirm that. So not only are they saying, hey, backwards compatibility is there, you don't have to jump into PS5 right away, but when you do, you don't have to lose access to your friends, messaging, even playing games online, cross-chat, things like that. It's all going to work just as you'd expect it, so that's fantastic news. They also say that PS4 is going to be relevant for 3 years at minimum right now. Also, not surprising, that's just part of Sony's transition to hardware. They always support their previous hardware for at least 2-3 years minimum. They always seem to get a 10-year life cycle out of most of their hardware, or close to it. So great there. If you're still on PS4 and you're not in a rush to go into PS5, you're good. You're still going to have PS4 games, PS4 software. Third parties are still going to release tons of games for it. So you can rest easy there. And to close this all out, Sony actually released an official graphic in terms of what they've discussed with PlayStation 5. So very handy. Basically goes over, you know, what they've said so far. So the CPU, GPU, SSD, backwards compatibility, ray tracing, 8K, disk support, 3D audio, and the things that they haven't discussed: date, price, games, user experience, country rollout. Now this infographic and this whole scenario of this corporate strategy and that Wired.com article, I mean, this kind of really confirms to us this theoretical timeline we've had for a while, which is that it's probably going to turn out to be true, where maybe we'll get a formal announcement of the hardware, say, the later half of this year. So maybe there'll be a PSX or something, but more of an on-stage event where Sony shows us what the box looks like, you know, some footage of some games, a better demo of the SSD and how quickly it'll load and things like that, how developers are going to utilize that feature now that developers know that every single PS5 will ship with that so they can design their games around that aspect. All great stuff. And then we can see the platform possibly launch holiday 2020. I think they're approaching this in what seems to be the best way possible, which is that they're quelling all fears immediately. You know, this is going to support discs. It's going to have backwards compatibility. Here's the things that we're aiming for: ray tracing, 8K, and I'm still seeing people get confused about the 8K thing. I am assuming that means upscale. There's not going to be nearly that many games at all that'll support that natively. It could be just like on PS4 Pro, where they've got some sort of fancy development technique like checkerboard rendering or something that achieves a very high quality image without it being native. They're going to have something to that effect. I mean, this platform is not going to cost $600, $700, $800+. So they're going to have something to kind of scoot around that, but that's more or less what they're getting at. So as it stands right now, I think Sony's doing a great job with how they're handling PS5. I think they're taking the right steps. They're showing people that this is a gamer's platform. So I just hope that they keep this momentum going. It looks good so far. I know that's early to say, but keep it up. Now, for our next news story, this is another one, didn't really see this coming whatsoever, but Sony announced the formation of PlayStation Productions, which will be a company focusing on turning PlayStation IP into movies and television, and it's actually going to be headed by SIE Worldwide Studios' Sean Layden and Sony's Asad Kizilbash. So this is really weird. I mean, I guess it's the right way to do it. Actually, if you remember, good lord, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago now, where Sony discussed wanting to turn more PlayStation IP into TV shows and things like that, and at that time they announced a collaborative experience for Ratchet & Clank, Sly Cooper, and I think there was maybe one other project in there I don't remember offhand, because I don't think the Sly Cooper thing ever came to fruition. I think that actually ended up turning into a small TV series, which was also announced maybe a year or so ago. I know I'm a little bit muddy there. But this looks like it's going to be a situation where Sony's going to be handling all the projects firsthand, and that's actually what they discussed when they formed the studio. They basically said the problem with, you know, turning games into TV and film is that they usually farm out the IP to a movie studio, and they give it into the hands of people that aren't familiar with the source material. So that's why Sean Layden is specifically overheading this, making sure that whatever goes through this production company, it looks like it's going to be true to form. They also discuss how things that end up going to TV or film, I mean, they try to focus on making it just like the game. They're saying that, you know, they're not going to do that. We'll try and do something original that makes sense for the TV format or for the movie format. And I understand that it's hard to turn a 10, 15-hour game into a 2-hour, 30-minute experience, something like that. So, sounds good so far. The current rumor, actually, over at the Reset Era forums, that their first project is actually Twisted Metal. So, that's another one out of left field. Like, okay, you're going to do a Twisted Metal TV series? All right, just do it well. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic, as we often discuss with these you know, games turning into movies and things like that. But at the very least, this is probably the right way to do it. I'm, again, cautious. But anyway, moving on to our next news story. Apparently, PlayStation employees had no idea about the Sony and Microsoft collaboration that was announced last week. And the current rumor is suggesting that when this announcement actually came out, PlayStation employees were freaking out, wondering what was going on, what it means, and managers had to calm down the employees. That's the rumor. Now, that seems to make a lot of sense, actually, to me, to be honest, because if you remember when we were discussing this on Let's Talk PlayStation last week, the thing that I kind of theorized was like, well, this was probably between you know, a very few amount of people when Microsoft and Sony were talking to each other. I'm talking just CEO to CEO, a few legal people, again, some other high-ranking executives, and that's about it. They don't want it to trickle down to lower employees. They don't want rumors to start, especially for something of this magnitude when it comes to Sony and Microsoft working together. Now, granted, it's probably just something minor, like we were saying, you know, Sony's just going to be buying Azure technology, Microsoft's going to be getting semiconductors, image sensors, things like that. Nothing super substantial, but that's why it was also a vague post, because it had to be announced so prematurely, because, again, no rumors want to be started. So it makes a lot of sense that PlayStation employees didn't really know what was going on. I mean, why would you fill them in on something like that? Again, it's just too big of news, especially if it's not finalized just yet. As it stands, apparently Microsoft employees also didn't know from the Xbox team. My only general curiosity is that, like, was Jim Ryan there? Does Sean Layden know? Shuhei? Like, did those guys not know as well? I'm just more curious in terms of, like, you know, where did this fall? Like, was anybody at PlayStation told about this? Or is this company so disjointed that, you know, we're making major decisions without actually telling that division anything? The other rumor going around, actually, is that apparently Sony approached Amazon first to try and buy more server space, cloud technology, things like that for, you know, PlayStation Now moving forward. That's apparently what happened. And then Sony, you know, couldn't work out a deal with Amazon that was on favorable terms. So then they went to Microsoft, and that's where they made a deal. And people are still kind of, like, not understanding why this is really happening, why Sony would go to Microsoft. And it's, again, it's not really unheard of. I mean, you have situations where, for example, you know, Apple's buying things from Samsung for the internals of iPhones. I mean, it's more commonplace than you think. So that's why I think it's not necessarily a major deal. I don't think they're going to do anything substantial like release a game together or, you know, put exclusives on each other's platforms. I think this really is a situation of supply and demand between the two. So, you know, that's kind of where it is right now. Now, as mentioned earlier, Sony is looking into buying more studios, possibly. With that in mind, Sony Worldwide Studios head Shuhei Yoshida recently paid a visit to Housemarque Games. Housemarque being well known for being associated with PlayStation. They did Resogun, Superstars HD, a couple of other exclusives. They do a lot of twin stick arcade shooters. They recently announced that they're not going to do those anymore because the genre is kind of dead, doesn't perform in terms of sales. So they're doing a battle royale style game on PC. They also announced that they're doing a AAA game for the first time ever, really expanding their studio. And it just seems interesting. Why is Shuhei Yoshida there? Well, they've got that history. Sony's looking to buy more studios. You kind of just assume maybe they're looking into something like that. Maybe they're exploring opportunities. Maybe that AAA game is actually a second party exclusive. What makes it more interesting is that XDev Studio, Sony Europe, actually retweeted the image. It's just one of those things where maybe this could happen. So that's actually a good segue into this next story, which is that Sony has some contract job listings for Insomniac Games. Now, why would Sony have some job listings for an independent developer like Insomniac Games? Well, probably because I think we can put two and two together here. They just did Spider-Man on PS4. It was incredibly successful. They have a long history working together in terms of exclusives like Ratchet and Clank. It seems like a no-brainer. They're going to be doing another second-party exclusive, maybe a sequel to Spider-Man. I mean, you'd have to assume maybe it could be another Ratchet and Clank. Maybe it could be a new IP entirely. But one thing's for certain, these two are still working together, and this will most certainly be a PlayStation exclusive. I mean, the job listings actually say that it is considered contract work. You're not actually going to be permanently employed under Sony or Insomniac Games. It's only for the duration of the project, but looks like something is starting up soon. So good to see that those two are still working together, and we'll expect another exclusive out of Insomniac. Now, file this one under rumor, but it looks like somebody on Reddit posted some leaks of Final Fantasy VII Remake news, some details about the game, what Square Enix is going to be doing, and it looks like one of the things that they're going to be doing is actually releasing a demo almost immediately after their gameplay, footage, whatever they plan on doing during E3. So the only reason why I'm including a rumor like this is because, well, it seems like this might actually happen because, well, they showed a trailer during State of Play, and it was a pretty substantial trailer. It's actually some good footage. It was somewhat lengthy, included some gameplay. They're holding that concert. They're holding a press conference. It looks like this game, as we've been saying before, it's further along than we are giving it credit for. And so Square Enix probably has a plan for what they're going to do with this game at E3. Who knows how much they're going to show, but maybe they might actually have some, like, details. Like, here's an actual vertical slice of the game that you can play. Here's when it's actually coming out in terms of a release window, maybe even an exact date, but that would be really pushing it, I think, with a game like this and, you know, well, Square Enix in general. But they might give us the release schedule for the game, how they plan to approach it. The other part of the rumor actually is that you have to be a PlayStation Plus member, so I know that's kind of rubbing people the wrong way, but that doesn't seem all that surprising. I'm sure that's kind of a vested interest for Sony, but we'll see if that actually turns out to be true. Now let's talk about Jack Tretton. I hope you remember him, and you probably do, because he was previously the president and CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment America. He left in 2014, but he did all the press conferences, interviews. He was always in the public eye, so you've seen him before for sure. But Jack recently did an interview with VentureBeat discussing what he's doing right now, his opinions on next-generation hardware and what's going on in the game space, and he more or less said in terms of Sony, Sony's very well positioned. It's always good to be number one in the market, but then going into the next generation, he did say that Sony faces a lot of stiff competition more than ever, basically, referring to how it's a very crowded space with streaming coming in, Google Stadia coming in, Microsoft's getting very aggressive recently, the Nintendo Switch is doing very well. That's not to say that Switch is a direct competitor to the next PlayStation, but that, you know, it's just a big share of consumer mindset going around, and there's a lot of options, so Sony does have some stiff competition. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, Jack's been in the games industry for so long. I mean, he was with PlayStation pretty much for the whole ride up until 2014. He was with the company basically when Sony Computer Entertainment started. And so, you know, he would certainly know a thing or two about what's going on, but it's also good to see that he's still in the games industry and he's still openly talking about it, and he can openly talk about his previous employer now without having a vested interest in it. Jack Tretton, he's a fascinating dude, so I just love to see him always in the scene, and I love to see him doing new interviews and things like that, so it's always cool to see him still talking around and stuff. But hey, let's get to Let's Talk Plus, our weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway, where one of you could win a $10 PSN code. I would like to congratulate the one and only, very cool name, probably not your real legal name, but goes to show that you are the winner of Let's Talk Plus. I'll be contacting you very soon via email, so please keep a lookout for that. It's very hard to get a hold of you guys on email sometimes. I don't know, you just don't check your emails, or maybe you're one of those people where on your iPhone or Android it says you got 10,000 emails, so you just never check the gosh darn thing. I don't know, but let me pay for your games, because we do this every single week on Let's Talk PlayStation. Follow the link down below to the Gleam website. Supporting the channel a number of ways can gain you an entry, and the winner will be announced next week. With all that said, those are all the news stories I wanted to talk about to you guys from this past week. If you didn't see, we finally did another documentary. Finally, 2 months later, and it's about the PlayStation Portable. We really don't talk about the PSP ever on this channel, which sucks. I love the PSP. It was a great platform. And so it was really great doing that video, because it's such a throwback, because it's an older platform. And honestly, as I was doing that video, I thought, man, I just didn't play the PSP that much. I think at this point, I probably have more total Vita playtime than PSP, which is unfortunate, because PSP did far better and was far more relevant than the PS Vita ever was in terms of sales and software and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I want to start collecting more for PSP, and I want to start playing more of it. But yeah, it was such a fun video to do. So go check that video out, and the typical YouTube bullshit where I say, hey, help me spread it around, you know, like, share, subscribe, all that, you know, nonsense. Only because it's an older platform, so it's not super relevant today when we're talking about PS5 stuff. So, thank you so much for your guys' support. I really appreciate it. And we just hit 200,000 subscribers on this channel, which is crazy, because I hit 100,000 back in November. So it's only been like 6 months, and now the channel's doubled. Crazy how that sort of that exponential growth rate works, right? Where it's like, oh, 6-7 years of YouTube, finally hit 100, then 6 months, another 100. I think it's also a matter of more people just being on YouTube, and there's just more and more gamers nowadays coming in. You got a younger generation coming in, which is awesome. I love gaming, man. It's great. But thank you all so much for getting me to where we are. It's nuts. I can't even really believe it, but I don't know. I'm at a loss for words at this point, to be honest. There's nothing I could really say that truly gets the words out of me. You know what I mean? They're trapped inside me. And to be honest, they're probably just going to stay there for a little bit until I can actually turn it into something more meaningful. So maybe we'll do something later. I don't know. But that concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Bedecky. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you all next Friday.